Crosstalk Radio is sponsored in part by Love Work Recording Studios. Whether you need recording or mixing and mastering services, Love Work is all about quality and customer service. Check them out at theloveworkstudios.com or give them a call at 678-953-2170.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy Double ATL in the building. My big homies, Big Pudge and Steph Swig. Crosstalk Podcast, you dig?
Yeah. Crosstalk Radio in the building. Got Big Pudge in the house.
Steph Swig in the building.
We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up their game. Oh, Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. On the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
People changing up their game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is.
It's Crosstalk talk with this radio. Conversations about the high low. It's Big Pudge and Steph Swig. Two bold brothers kicking down your door. Engage listeners on topic. Discussions to bring questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many people that need deliverance. From ISO to the church doors. Ain't no more keeping our eyes closed. All these elephants in the room. It's time to take time out with the broom. Instead of sweeping all these issues up under the rug, it's time we unify and penetrate what God's love. From spiritual to political, from astrology to science, from theologian to the Vatican, let's believe big things is happening. This ain't your average ordinary radio show, worldwide, blessed by the God who make the sun glow.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truths that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people by discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up their game. Oh, Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
Got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now. On the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up their game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now, talking about the way the world is.
Welcome
now
to Crosstalk Radio. This is your man Steph Swig.
This is your man Big Pudge.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
All right, we got a special guest in the house tonight, man. Me and Steph been knowing this man for some years. The world knows him as G Status, you know what I'm saying? But my man got a little older now. So, you know what I'm saying? He done switched his name. His name been the same since he was born, you know what I'm saying? But this is the name. I'm going to let him introduce himself to the world.
What's going on, y'all? This is Jason Stevens.
Jason Stevens, give it up for him. Give it up for him. In the building.
Welcome to Crosstalk.
And I appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah, you brought us something to play for you today, man. You got this dope song I called Figure It Out.
Mm-hmm.
What motivates you to do the song?
The song was actually really inspired by my wife. You know what I'm saying? Especially during this time with music.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It ain't that kind of music no more.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I was trying to bring back the essence of like R&B from the
90s. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It has that feel to it. I like it.
It definitely did.
Today.
Right. I did too on the way over here.
No, so we talked. Let's let the audience hear the song. So here it is, y'all. Figure It Out.
Never thought that anyone would find the time to get in my mind.
But you're the one to figure it out.
It's crazy how people come in around and claim they're holding you down.
But you're the one to figure it out.
I don't understand what happened when you came from different angles. You became my angel.
You're the one to figure it out.
I never thought that anyone would find the time to get in my mind.
But you're the one to figure it out.
Crazy how people come in around and claim they're holding you down.
But you the one to figure it out.
I don't understand what happened when you came from different angles. You became my angel.
know it's kind of crazy that you call me and you're holding me down. You see, you got me from the bottom to the top, and I'm feeling finally coming around. Yeah. You pulled me out my shell when I was just single and selfish. And sometimes I even got a little bit hellish. Oh, we hit glory. I think I found my West Side story. And even when the ladies try to holler, baby, they can do a single thing for me. So don't you ever question if I appreciate the things you do. And having my back, girl, I never thought that anyone would find the time to get in my mind.
But you the one to figure it out.
It's crazy how people come in around and claim they're holding you down.
But you the one to figure it out.
Like one of them summer jams, I had the windows down. Yeah. Like, I was like, yo, this is dope because, you know, you don't have to be a Christian artist, but at the same time, it's like, it's a serious lack of music that's like, something like the song Figured Out. It's like, it's a good song you're riding off to with your girl, and it's not explicit. It's not like talking about how you're going to do her tonight or whatever. It's like, it was a great
song.
It's
just good music.
Good music,
you know,
period.
What I'm saying? Just find out good music.
And I feel like industry, Christian or not, is lacking in that, man. And,
Yeah,
it's very lacking in that area. You got a few artists that's doing stuff like that, but they catch a lot of flack on it. You told me earlier you caught a little flack on that. Well, can you talk about that with us real quick?
Man, it's funny because it's not like, I don't know why it's a shock to people, because I've been doing music like this for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, even if you go back to my album Targeted, I would always throw like one love song mm-hmm. on the project, mm-hmm. you know, and I always felt like that was needed, especially on this side of things.
Yeah.
The reason why I said that is because it's like, I was always under the impression, like I remember when everybody was going at Rick Ross and all of them, you know, CHH, they was like, mm-hmm. yeah, you don't need to listen to Rick Ross. You don't need to listen to this person. You don't need to listen to this person. We got all this music for us.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to that.
Right.
But then they'll come back up with another tweet or another post and be like, man, you heard that new Jamie Foxx? You
right.
heard that new Trey Songz?
Right.
And so I was like, well, shoot, that's actually an area that we don't have, mm-hmm. so I'm trying to give y'all something.
Right.
So then I did the full album, Real Love 101,
mm-hmm.
and everybody was like, I remember some people supported it,
mm-hmm.
but the majority of the people was like, nah, this sounds too worldly, he don't know if he's saved or not, all of this stuff. So I don't know why it's a shock to people that I would do this song, but now, of course, being a pastor as well, people are looking at it and they're like,
yeah.
oh, well, you doing this and you pastoring, you know, a double-minded man.
It's not double-minded, though. Like, you're a married man making folk music It's not even nothing explicit in the song, though.
It's not.
It's, you know, people call it the BBCC thing. Like, it's I've heard that all my life, where BBCC whining, you didn't know if they were talking about a woman or guy, mm-hmm. a man or guy, you mm-hmm. know, so it was always a major if. Like your song is Blake, you talking about your wife.
Right.
You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, and then, you know, the church, and I got to do the quotation church thing, because they're the ones that put, once you save, you're in this kind of box, and this is the only kind of music you're supposed to be making.
Right.
Yeah. Totally forgetting that God's whole entire aura is love.
Exactly.
You come on, with
saying?
It, punch.
I mean, from beginning, he desires us to have that more than anything. Mm-hmm. And out of everything you go through, that his love, it conquers that. So how can you get to his love without expressing, like, your love, you know what I'm saying,
right.
towards your actual wife?
And that's the thing that I never understood. I mean, like, I believe that you can make music, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. that doesn't compromise your character.
There you go.
You feel what I'm saying?
There you go.
So mm-hmm. I'm not compromising my character in the music. I'm not talking about what me and my wife do behind closed doors right. and nothing.
That would be okay. Right. We like to hear that. No, I'm messing with
you. Leave it up to Steph, y'all.
Because it's your wife. It's cool.
Right. But you right. know, like, right. who going to tell me as a grown man that I can't make a song about my wife or my daughter? That sounds right. dumb, because the name of does. Jesus isn't in the song.
Right.
Like, come on, man.
Al it's Green's been religious. Doing it for years. Al Green's yeah, a pastor.
It's religious.
But that's think good. About it like this. You going out with your woman. Mm-hmm. You want to have a romantic night.
So we're going to put on Kirk
Franklin. Ain't nobody going to play Stomp.
We're going to play right. Kirk Franklin. You know what I'm
saying? Ain't nobody trying to always hear, what's that song by Shekinah Glory?
Yes. I know what you're talking. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Ain't nobody trying to hear yes
yeah,
when you...
Yeah. And let's come on now, since we three grown men sitting at this table, when you making love to your wife, you mm-hmm. or your other half, I'm talking about just in general, like, mm-hmm. people that are saved, you know what I'm saying, that are married, they go to R&B music
they
when
do.
They making yeah. love, you know what I'm saying, or whatever it is that they like to listen to is that. So my thing is, India Irie is one of my favorite artists to listen to, you know what I'm saying, something like that. So my thing is, what's the difference when you listening to a man or a woman that is saved, loves God, the whole world knows it, but they still make that rightful love music. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, to me, it doesn't compromise your character. It doesn't compromise your faith.
You're right. making music for it's like an audience. Either way, like, you know, you got people who make songs for working out. You got people who make songs, like, if you with your lady, you want a different type of song.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see what's wrong with making music for husbands and wives.
Like, example, Mr. ATL, when we had him on our interview.
That song was dope.
His song, he's not even, is he married?
Yeah, he's married.
Okay, but his song.
I was talking about before they were married.
Talking about his wife before they was married.
So when you listen to. The feels he had about it before.
Yeah, when you listen to his song, the world was seeing, like, his song is way more worldly because. Mm-hmm. He's talking about his desire and feelings prior to him even getting right. with.
But that's relatable, though.
Exactly.
Music should connect.
Exactly.
Your
right. So it's like his song is part yeah. one, that the beginning, yours is actually part
yeah.
two.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm exactly. saying? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I find it pretty dope. I mean, I yeah, appreciate I that kind of music because, I mean, it just adds you into my genre of you know what I'm saying, my R&B. Like, mm-hmm. for people, it's funny that we even talking about music, man, because I actually want to do a show, like, on music. Mm-hmm. Like, on music itself, as far as, like, and we should have him back, too. Just because you've been doing music for a long time, mm-hmm. and you're a believer. Right. So my thing is, music, it has a way where it corrupts people.
Mm-hmm.
In the most evilest way,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? And it brings a lot of love right. at the same time. People just don't understand that, you know, that's Satan's most detrimental instrument.
Right.
You know
that's
what I'm saying?
What he it's did.
Music. Exactly.
Yeah.
And people don't even know that right. was his job. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then when he got casted out, his gifts ain't leave.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, right. And this music, like the music that's out here today is. To me, I appreciate anything that's original or close to just being mm-hmm. pure and authentic, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, versus what I have to, well, versus what's being played out here today.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
You said a mouthful. we didn't even start the interview yet. We just hanging out right. talking about music and everything.
But I mean, I think it was that soapbox of you being ridiculed for something that that person that's yet ridiculing
See,
you.
See, that soapbox, we keep it right here in the studio. Because, that soapbox for Christians and what kind of music supposed to make, we stay on that. That's easy for us to step on that, because I get so tired.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's a lot of people that behind closed doors, they listen to stuff that don't nobody know they listen to. If they doing something.
And you know, it used to affect me, like when people would say stuff, but now it's just like, I don't even know you.
Right.
You don't even know me for real. You follow me on Instagram or whatever.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But if you're going to judge me off of a 3-minute and 41-second song and never sit down and talk to me, you ain't got no right to even be talking on the subject.
You got with that. 3 minutes, 41 seconds.
All right, matter of fact, so let's go back to the beginning. So for the world who don't even know you, Where did G status come from, and why did you take that away and go back and go to your original name? Like, the world got to know.
Yeah, we got to know.
Did he pop his collar? I hope y'all saw that live. He hit his collar, yo.
It's always funny when I get asked this question, because most people, when I was G status, everybody was like, so what's your first name?
I mean, Mr. G.
They was like, oh, okay, so what's your middle name? Jason.
This is all new to me. Like, so where's the G come in?
The name came, this is funny, man, because I told this on another interview. The name came in college. Right?
Okay.
By a friend of mine, gave me the name. My phone had been blowing up on some stuff. Some dudes was talking about they was going, you know, beat me up, jump me or whatever. Somehow they got my number. And it was going on for like the whole week, and I was trying to ignore it because I was like, you know, I was just trying to get my life right, but I wasn't right at all.
Yeah. Right.
And so I found out who it was.
Mm-hmm.
I got frustrated, and he texted me again while I was walking into my night class in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, bump it. So I called him, and I was like, where you at?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had him on the phone, and he told me where he was at, and I drove over there, and we fought. And I came back to school and went to class.
Uh-huh.
And my homie was like, man, that's some of that G status. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't even know why I chose the name.
Uh-huh.
But then when I got saved and I started reading more, and I realized that my story was similar to Gideon in the Bible.
Oh.
You know, and it's like every time I knew God was telling me something, I would ask for another sign.
Mm.
You know, and it's like an undeniable sign. And you know, God, if I'm supposed to do this, let there be water in my toilet when I go in the bathroom.
Right,
you know,
right.
So that's what it kind of, that's where it stemmed from. You know what I'm saying? When I really got an understanding. When I switched the name to my real name, Jason, it was like G status was an alter ego. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And so Jason was who G status wanted to be when G status was on stage. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because there were times, like, when I got saved, I would have relapses. You know what I'm saying? Where I would smoke a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or I would want to do something. You know what I'm saying? Had these feelings about this a woman or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I would have these moments where I would fall and be me. But on stage, I'm not smoking. I'm not having no thoughts about no women. I'm not doing none of that stuff.
Right.
G status was who I wanted to be.
Right.
And then once I got to a point where I really became who I am, it was no longer a need to have that stage name. They had met and became the same person.
So in other words, you grew up. You got grown.
Right.
I said he's grown.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I didn't even know I was talking spiritually when I said it. You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up, man.
Wow, that's dope. Now, I mean, that good. The whole now the world knows that reason. You know.
Now we know. I didn't know. I didn't know
it makes
name was Timothy.
And
I thought your name was Jason. Like,
I thought it was Jason too. Actually, I didn't know it was Jason until y'all told me it was. I just didn't know your G status from day one. So it's like, I'm like, okay, you know, but that's good. Now it makes it easier to call you by your real name. Yeah,
right.
Once you hear the meaning behind it.
So I got to bring this up. I'm going to skip protocol on these questions real quick. But we was talking before you got here, and he going to kind of like slick invite me to his church. He's like, I don't know if you know this, man, but I got a church now. I'm a pastor. Like,
it wasn't like, even an invite. Yeah, I was just kind of like.
But the thing was, it's like.
It's I like, like that.
It's like, why don't we know this already? You're a pastor, man. Come on, like, why'd you put. Like, your name never say, does it say Pastor Jason Stevens on Facebook yet?
Nah.
So you ain't told nobody. Like, it's like a secret. I don't know if you know this. But I got a church. Like, yo, why? Like, it's like this big secret. I thought you about to tell me something like deep. This is true.
He going live and his phone just rang, y'all. Right? That's all. You know what I'm saying? So the people live even know that.
Better him than us.
Right.
Better him than us. So anyway, I didn't know he was a pastor until you told me, which is great. Yeah. But tell us about that, man. What's going on?
Yeah, the church is can't think of the right word, so I'm just going to use the term spinoff of my in-laws' church in California.
Okay.
When they were here in Georgia, we had the church here, and I was a youth pastor there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, a couple of years ago, me and my wife moved to California, and I was operating as somewhat of like an associate pastor there, helping out my father-in-law rebuild the ministry there. When we moved back, I had an experience in California that changed my perspective on everything.
Tell us about that first. That sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say this is because, like how you said, I slid that in there.
Yeah.
I've always been one of them people, and me and my wife try to make it a point where we don't go around broadcasting everything that we're doing. You know what I'm saying? If it comes up in casual conversation or whatever,
yeah, cool, right.
Or you may see it on Facebook, I may post it or something like that, but just going around broadcasting it. I even tell people when we do certain things, you don't have to call me Pastor anybody. You could just call me Jason. You
know what I'm saying? Timothy?
No.
Look at him. He tried that one. He tried that.
Nah, man.
That's that for you.
If you really call me Timothy, it'll probably take me a while to realize you've been talking. Right. My family has never called me that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I got you. Okay.
But when we were in California, we went to this church that my mother-in-law and her sisters were singing at. And it was like this Friday night event, and it was right around the corner from where I worked.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm there, and I'm just standing there meeting people in the foyer and everything, talking to them. And I see this dude in the area that I worked in. It's like a lot of transients there, a lot of homeless people, a lot of drug addicts and stuff. And I saw this dude. He had to be about a solid 60 yards away.
Mm-hmm.
He was walking on the other side of the street. Mm-hmm. So here's the church. It's in like an office space. And then there's a hill that leads to the street. Then there's the street. And then there's the sidewalk over there.
Mm-hmm.
He was walking on that sidewalk, but he was way down. Looking in the building, it's tenant, so you can't see, but I can see out.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at him walking, and he was just walking real slow, real slow, real slow. And I couldn't take my eyes off of him. I was like, man, something about him, I don't know. He walked. And then finally, when he got like directly in front of the church, he looked, and it's almost like we looked at each other.
Mm-hmm.
He walked across the street. He came in. I introduced myself to him. I asked him if he wanted me to take him to, have a seat and everything. Homeless guy. He was like, yeah. I asked him what his name was. His name was Tony. I don't remember his last name. And so church service went on, and I couldn't take my eyes off of him. I just couldn't. I couldn't figure it out. And so he's like, not really into the service, but he looks different from everybody else in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are going up to him, and they praying for him to get his life together, and praying for him and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, nah, that ain't it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that it happened to be payday. Normally I go cash my check, deposit the money. Good. I cashed my check, but I didn't deposit the money.
Mm-hmm.
So I was walking around with money on me.
Yeah.
I reached in my wallet, gave him like $80. As soon as my hand connected with his, he broke down crying. My wife reached in her wallet. She gave him 40. Mm-hmm. My father-in-law gave him like 40.
Mm-hmm.
And he's breaking down crying. And at that point, he's open to anything I have to say now.
Yeah.
Because I was able to meet a specific need.
Exactly.
And that's the issue. When I do something for you, it's not up to me to decide what you do with what I give you.
Right.
I'm just doing my part in.
We've had that conversation.
Meeting your need.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't have anything. I'm meeting your need.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want to do more for him. I want to do more for him. By this time, he's active in service, praying, praising, everything. He's in tune with what's going on. The word is coming forth.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him to meet me outside after church.
Mm-hmm.
I think I gave him like another 100. And we put him up in a hotel room. I asked him, I said, do you have any construction experience? I was a project manager for a construction company out there. He was like, yeah, I got like 15 years experience. I said, well, my job is right there. Like, literally, you walk up the street, you see it, that's where I work. If you come to work on Monday, if you meet me there at 7 o'clock, you got a job, you'll have some shoes here, some clothes, underwear, socks. He breaks down crying. Wow. He was like, I just needed a change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we put him in the hotel room. He left with about $300. The next day, I went to Ross and bought all this stuff for him. Took it to the job. He never showed up, but I did my part.
Exactly.
You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I left it there for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, just in case he would show up. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, oh, he ain't come today. I'm going to go get my money back. I left it at the job for about 2 weeks, and it bothered me that he didn't come.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? But ever since then, my mentality was, I never want to come at somebody with just prayer if I can do more.
Yeah, yeah.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. My bishop, man.
So
you sound just like my bishop.
Yeah. That's where I'm at with everything. So that's even the whole mold of the church now.
You have an awesome mindset to be a shepherd, because you actually train your people. It's actually not about the fleshly satisfaction that you may be looking for mm-hmm. to help someone out.
Right.
And it's not about if the person honors what they say they're going to do when you offer them something. it's actually like people who are trying to date. Some part of somebody's always longing for God, right. Always. It's that part of them that is longer for him, but the fleshly part actually needs a need met.
Right. Exactly.
Just like you were saying.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like prayer is cute, but the lights is still about to be
right.
cut off. So
right.
yeah, mm-hmm. I can take some light bill money along with prayer.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
So it's like
yeah.
you opened up that avenue for that person to be open because you actually met an actual need. And
exactly.
it's funny because it's a lot of people that still haven't gotten to that place mm-hmm. yet.
Yeah. And so it was like ever since then, my wife and we keep some type of cash on us
mm-hmm.
because every time when we would exit to get to the job, there was always this little white dude on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
We knew he was on drugs. We could tell. He had a cardboard sign one morning that said, "We'll kidnap Trump for
$5. That's hilarious.
When I tell you, everybody in that line had money hanging out the window.
Yo,
that's a good way to get paid.
Yeah.
But even though I knew he was on drugs, I could not give him anything.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know what
yeah.
I'm saying? It's not up to me to decide what you do with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be between you and God. You
exactly.
know what I'm saying? But I mean, that was the funniest thing I seen while I was out there.
That's
funny.
A new one.
You
right
know,
there.
He would be out there doing hat tricks and junk like that, flipping it and catching it and break dancing. But when he had that sign out there one morning, I just sat there and looked at him for like 5 minutes. Like, I ain't even hit the gas. I just couldn't do nothing but laugh, man. It was hilarious.
Oh, man.
That is funny, man.
Wow, so where's your church located?
It's in Lilburn, Georgia.
Okay.
You know, like 10 minutes from Stone Mountain, basically.
Okay.
And the church is called New Life Beyond the Four Walls Ministries. Right now we have...
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. After our conversation, it makes more sense now, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right now we have service at the location 2nd, 4th, and 5th Sundays.
Okay.
1st and 3rd Sundays, we go to the nursing homes.
Okay.
Spend time with them.
Outside the four walls.
Talk to them.
I was just about to say, outside the four walls.
Mm-hmm.
I love that part about the name, outside the four walls.
We go, they had a TV on, and I just tell them, like, look, we're here for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever y'all want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Most times Golden Girls is on. When we go there. If y'all want to sit and watch Golden Girls.
That's not so stereotypical, though.
Nursing home, Golden Girls.
Every time we go, they have Golden Girls playing. I don't know what it is. But if y'all want to watch Golden Girls mm-hmm. in complete silence and just have us sitting with you,
mm-hmm.
then that's fine. We'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we've gone in there. We've prayed for people. There's one lady we saw, and they told us pretty much that this lady was getting ready to die. And they was like, you know, she's on her last leg. She hasn't been doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Whoop-de-whoop, all that stuff. And so, you know, we talked to her. We spent time with her. We prayed with her. And she wasn't in a really good place at that time.
Mm-hmm.
She was in love with us at first, and then she went to sleep. When she woke up, she didn't even remember who we were.
Mm-hmm.
When we went last Sunday, she looked really good. They were like, we thought she was gone. She remembered who we were. She was more active.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And she was like, I just get so excited when you all come. They just love for us to come because they've been there with no hesitation or anything.
Yeah.
One lady told me, I really want to go to church, but I can't. So I'm thankful that y'all come here
Amen.
And spend time with us.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get it to a point where we can hit nursing homes, homeless shelters, children's hospitals,
different things like that, get out in the community, because I just feel like every you don't have to be in church every Sunday. You don't have to be.
Real good.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to do things. I feel like a lot of people say, yeah, you know, the church has lost its power. No, it really didn't. It lost its focus.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, my thing is, I want to be in a position to where if there's a young brother who gets caught up on a little weed charge, he can come and talk to me. I'll go stand with you in court. I don't support what you did, but I'm there as your support. Yeah. Now, in return, I want you to come and be active in the church and do something and get right or whatever. Do different things like that.
Right.
The church doesn't offer support for the community anymore, but they want the community to come out.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the issue. It's a big disconnect.
Man, we're talking about that.
It is. That's pretty dope, man.
This interview's running itself, but I haven't really asked any of the questions.
Looking back at you in your paper like, well, you got another question.
I got plenty of questions, but I haven't asked one of the questions on my paper yet.
They always kind of just float away.
Yeah, that's
the
perfect.
Spirit woman to flow.
This is just a guideline. But so how long you been pastoring?
This church, we started in January.
Yeah, January. Okay.
Started in January.
That's dope.
So
man,
what have some of your biggest challenges been with starting this church since January? It's crosstalk. You can tell us, really.
The biggest challenge is actually realizing that I am the pastor of a church.
He's still in that first stage of shock.
Yeah, it's like
surrealness.
Man, like, you know, I think that would be the biggest challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like you said earlier, you heard a lot of pastors say that preaching is the easy part.
Yeah.
It really is. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the easiest part.
Mm-hmm.
The most difficult part for me is, like, when I go to the nursing homes and I see the people there, and it really break my heart. You know what I'm saying? Just seeing them, and then knowing that they're probably not going to have someone else come and see them again until we come back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So then looking at all the things that's going on, but I think that would be it. And then the other thing is the fact that so many people don't want anything to do with church.
Mm-hmm.
Because of whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And I've learned a lot that a lot of times people don't want anything to do with church because, for one, they feel it's a white man's religion. Mm-hmm. Number two, their grandma or somebody in their family may have gotten really sick and gave their all to the church. They kept telling them to pray and pray and pray, and nobody did anything, and they fell ill.
Mm-hmm.
And now they got an issue with the church.
Yeah.
The church was never there for them. It's a lot of stuff that entails in that. So when you talk to people about it, like, man, I don't do that church stuff no more.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have an authentic church that's not about your money, that's not about any of this stuff, but really just trying to help you
it
better.
It does hurt.
You know what I'm saying?
It does hurt. It does.
It's difficult.
I know that exact feeling.
Wow, man.
But it's just one of those things. I just feel like we have to get to a point where when we're dealing with people, we got to just understand that everybody you talk to is not going to get saved.
Mm.
But can you still impact their life in some way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you still plant a seed?
Like, yeah, I was going to say plant a seed. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
It might not be at the time, but at least you're doing your part.
Mm-hmm. That's all we can do.
Right. Yeah.
Plant them seeds.
I salute y'all, man. I mean, you know, being an evangelist and a prophet, I feel like that comes with enough persecution enough, but I would never want y'all's. I mean, I tell E. Hood the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I tell my brother the same thing, man.
That, with a lot.
That pastor, man, that's that. Every out of the fivefold, you know what I'm saying? Every calling comes with some form of a sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? That one right there, it's just a sacrifice to the, I mean, because I'm sure you ain't even really felt the challenges of, like, you know what I'm saying, praying, like when your sheep, like, your flock is big.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, humans is just hard-headed.
you turn into a therapy session.
I've said it before in an interview. I've seen my mother go through it, and I've seen my brother go through it. Mm-hmm. And it's no joke, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's a huge... That's why I be over here like, man, I'm good with my two callers. That sacrifice come with them is good enough, but to have that right there.
Man, I can imagine.
Man.
All right, so I actually got you on the show because the song you had come out, and I was going to interview you about the song and music and producing, why we changed your name. And then you kind of, like I said, you slick let me know you was a pastor like 5 minutes before the show started. So, which is great, because this is definitely impactful, man, because people need to know that churches, you know, there are good churches out there. I'm not bashing any church, but people tend to have a stereotype that church, all they want is your money. They're not going to do nothing for your pastor driving this car. Folks in the neighborhood starving, you know, pastors are pimps in the pulpit, that kind of stuff. But, when, you know, but when you're talking, you know, it gives people a good insight into your heart and what your ministry is about, because you're going out to homes and making a difference. That's that's a beautiful thing. Like I told you earlier, I think that's the main purpose of the church. Like, we like, I agree, we lost focus as a church.
So let me, I'm like, so let me go ahead and put it out there for my man. If you are looking for, if you want them people who don't now do church like that, we got a great spot for you.
Yes, yes.
What's the name of your church again?
And how can they get in touch with you?
New Life Beyond the Four Walls Ministries. And you can get in touch with me on Facebook, Jason Stevens, or Instagram, J Stevens Music. I don't get my number out no more.
I feel you. Yeah. And look, here's the main
thing. Well, you can hit Crosshucker. We can get you in touch
with him. Right, we can get you in touch with him ASAP. And the main thing is, and I'm directly talking to the ones who don't do church like that no more, get with him on the days where he go out. Get with him on the days where he's going to the homeless shelters or the nursing homes, and then because you got a lot of people that they want to go out and work, they want to do something for the city, the town, or whatever, or just a good cause. Period, but don't want to be involved in church.
Right.
This is a great avenue.
It is a very great avenue.
Still get reconnected with God, or connected with him in the first place. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And still be a believer, because regardless of the matter, that I don't do church no more, it's going to fizzle away.
Yeah.
It'll fizzle away.
Once they get to the true heart of it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then realize that, you know, saying the ministry that they're now connected with is a pure one.
Yeah.
You know, because it really takes for people to really see the work of the actual church being out doing stuff for them to get
people
rid of whatever
stigma.
People want to
be a part of something that's making a difference.
Yeah.
They don't want to come and see church every Sunday. They want to be a part of something making a difference.
Right.
When you partner with people, it makes a bigger impact in life. You're like, I'm a part of it, so yeah, I'm coming out. They invite people, hey, we're going to serve over here, we're going here.
Right.
And, you know, it's excitement. But you just invite people to church to hear an uplifting sermon, that's great too. But it's more motivation when you're actually a part of the works that's taking place.
Right. It is.
All right, we got an interview about music now, man. We talked about church. We done had Pastor Hood on here last week. So, but nah, we appreciate you coming through, man. But
anytime.
The song is dope. I like your song. I like your music. I've always enjoyed your music.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And but you produce too, right?
Yeah.
So which one is more satisfying to you? You can see yourself a rapper, singer? What do you consider? Because your music got like a different feel to it, man. First of all.
Lately, I've just been focusing on the singing aspect.
Okay.
I still rap here and there, you know what I'm saying? But mainly just focusing on singing. But I think, honestly, if I be honest, my favorite thing to do right now is writing for people.
Who you writing?
Ghostwriting?
Yeah.
Who you writing for? I mess with you, man.
You know, it would be either be writing or mixing and mastering. Like, that's fun. Like, I'll sit down and do that. And if I'm stressed about anything, if I sit in front of the computer, you give me some plugins and a song, and I'm good. I'll zone out. I like doing that.
Oh,
you
know? Wow. That's dope. I actually love that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Just I'm talking about the fact that he loves to do it.
Oh, okay.
That'd be somebody I'd definitely be shopping my music to, because he loves to do it. That means he's going to take his time.
And he got passion, you know, behind it. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. So who do you make music for? When you singing, when you rapping, who are you aiming your music at?
Because
I think everybody has a target audience, but sometimes we don't reach that target audience. But who are you aiming your music at? Excuse me.
Right now, I believe, now that I understand exactly your target audience, like before when I was just doing all CHH or all contemporary gospel, I was like, oh, I want to reach everyone. You know, everyone else. If you're 2 years old or if you're 222 years old, I just want to give you the message of Jesus, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But truthfully, when you think about it, most people who are like 80 ain't listening to what we was doing before. You know
what
I'm saying?
Right.
So I think my music is going right now. I believe that my music goes to people within that age range of 18 to about 45.
Okay.
You know,
we're still in that range.
It's a nice range.
Yeah.
It's a nice range.
You know, some of us close to being out of that range.
Shut up, boy. I look good, though. I'm give myself that credit.
So, 18 to 45, believer or non-believer.
That's dope.
You know what I'm saying? I've always wanted to make music that if you were a believer, you could vibe out to it. Mm-hmm. If you're not,
you still vibe out to it.
But it would pique your interest more to want to know more about me. And he'd be like, oh, snap, he is a believer. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you can be and you can do, you know, yes, all that. So,
exactly. So he was doing it way before Molly, man.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I consider right now. Same thing. You know, mm-hmm. So he put that music out there. And the funny part is you ain't catching the same kind of ridicule he caught. Mm-hmm. He probably still catches the same thing Lecrae catching. Yeah. You know, the minute you do something outside of what they call a religious Christian box,
right,
you know, you're a question mark, you label. And the good thing is there are still some people that God wants to be drawn in by that type of music. So when they look into the actual person,
right,
they see that this person really loves God and goes hard for God, yeah, on top of that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So it makes them curious. So it's just, I call them New Age Pharisees. You know, I mean, it is, man. If you think about it, they're just the 20th, you know, this century version of the Pharisees that's just trying to keep that old law bound, you know. And then, you know, when it comes to like different denominations, all that man-made stuff, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, I want you, if you're not following this path, then it's the wrong path.
Right.
You know, and then you actually raising kids and people to believe that that's what it is. And then on top of the folks preaching that if it ain't this denomination, every denomination is the wrong one.
I can't stand that, man. I can't stand it. It's crazy. No sense.
I don't get it.
It's crazy. Right. So you actually have two different, you got a lovely avenue, man. You can actually bring people in by way of your music and then not preach at them, but you know what I'm saying, being a pastor, pastor them real good.
Right.
That's super dope.
Right. Appreciate it, man.
That is dope, man. All right, man. So, You didn't let this be known on the air, but you are a father.
Yeah.
How has that changed your life?
Changed my life a lot, man.
You wasn't expecting that.
It's changed my life a lot, man. Me and my wife, we welcomed our daughter into the world. And it's real special for me, man, because she was born, I think it was 9/39. December 15th. My birthday is December
16th.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So even when you, I don't know, man, it's something about little girls that make you a little bit softer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
I got three.
He act hard. But like you said, he got three.
Yeah. It's something, man, and like, you know, it's changed my life a lot, to the point where I've always been one that's been real calculated in what I do, mm-hmm, you know, how I make my decisions. I'm like a huge overthinker, and I analyze everything.
It's not like someone else we know, Punch.
You.
Yeah, it's not someone else we know.
Right. Like, you asking me that question, I'm sitting here going through every single thing.
We can see that.
It was a look on his face when you asked.
Yeah, like he malfunctioned for a minute.
It did. His whole look
froze me, man.
Right.
But, you know, it really made me really think about everything in a completely different light right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, my daughter has to be raised in this world now.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? All the crazy stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I want to raise her right. I want to raise her, understand the importance of reading and prayer and all of that stuff, keeping your relationship tight with God. But I've always thought like this, but when I actually had her and we brought her home and I looked at her and my wife together, and I was like, I got to set her future up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got to set her future up. So, like, in my mind, I'm already thinking, when she gets in ninth grade, I'm going to start a business.
I'm
going to have her as an employee of the business.
Right.
And then when she graduates, I'm going to give her the business as a graduation present.
Mm-hmm.
You already have 4 years under your belt.
Right.
You already have clientele.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, I'm already putting up X amount of dollars per check that I'm getting now.
Mm-hmm.
If you put $20 aside, let's say you put $40 a month to the side in an account for 18 years, you pretty much leave your child with over like $15,000 by the time they graduate.
Mm-hmm.
So boom, I'm leaving you with a business, plus I'm giving you these thousands of dollars. This mm-hmm. is your graduation present.
Mm-hmm. It's more money than that, though.
I'm trying to remember. I got it all written down.
And stuff. I got you.
But in that, you don't have to buy your car with any of that money. You don't have to buy any of your clothes with any of that
money. You're setting them up.
That's your money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And this is your business. Yes, I want you to go to college, but if you choose not to, I'm not going to be mad that you chose not to go to college.
Right.
I'm trying to set you up so that you understand how to set your kids up.
Right.
And so it has me in a point now where I'm calculating everything. Yes, the man goes out and make the money, all of that stuff like that. But at the end of the day, that's 40 hours that you don't get to spend with your child every week.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Exactly.
That breaks down to a lot of time outside of the home because that's 40 hours of just being at work that I'm away from
home. Sometimes it's more than 40.
Yeah.
My drive to and from work, it takes me 45 minutes to an hour to get to work. It takes me 45 minutes to an hour to get home. I have an hour break, so I'm at work for 9 hours out of the day.
50 hours out of your day.
That's 10 and
50 hours out of your week, I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
That's 12 hours that I'm either driving or on the location of the mm-hmm. job. When I get home, I got to get undressed, eat, and then I got to go to sleep. I spend time with them and go to sleep. I may get a chance to spend maybe 4 or 5 hours with them.
Mm-hmm.
So 4 or 5 hours, that's 20 hours or 19 hours that I'm not really spending with them
mm-hmm.
throughout the week. Mm-hmm. And then you do that and you do that. And then we wonder why our daughters or our sons are not feeling like they got mm-hmm. certain love. You mm-hmm. provide it.
Yeah.
But if you're not providing what they really need, which is a mother and a father figure,
that love.
Mm-hmm. then we still failed at the end.
Did you hear that pastor come out of him just then?
Yeah. I mean, he's been talking on the pastorship for a minute.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's good talk, though.
That's real good talk.
That's real good talk. It's a lot of people that can learn from that.
Yeah. But she's changed my life a lot, man. I mean,
I can imagine.
Just looking at her, I just be like, I got to do everything I can to protect her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? There's nothing that she can't get out of me. I never want to be able to tell her, no, we can't afford that.
Right.
Yeah. I just tell her, no, we're not getting that right now.
Right.
But I never want to be in a position to where I can't do for her.
Right.
So I got to do what I can.
That's beautiful, man.
No, that, yeah. You definitely got the mindset of a father. That's a protector.
Yeah.
All right. So while we're still getting in your business,
he doing it all slowly. I got another hitter for you.
I got one. I want to see how he responds.
You're not going
to
see this one coming either. You can tell the way he moved the pen nice again, so we're not going to kick it up. Because I'm like, the way he asking these questions, I'm like, I don't think Jay ready for these jobs.
Yeah, man, because I don't want to ask you a typical question. He had an interview last week, too. They talk about some of the same. Like, nah, I don't want you to repeat the same answers and the same questions he had. No.
Right.
Nah, we ain't doing that here. So, outside of music,
mm-hmm.
outside of pastorship, who are you?
Dope.
Just me.
I'm literally
getting ready to go into it.
Okay.
I'm just a country boy from a small town. I was born in Augusta, Georgia. The actual city that my family stayed in is called mm-hmm. Keysville.
Okay.
And ain't nothing out there but dirt roads and cows and bulls and pigs and all that stuff like that. I don't remember much about it because we moved up here when I was like two mm-hmm. or three. And so my first part of life was spent off of Reed Ann Road.
Okay.
Where I grew up. Right. And then we stayed off of Highway 78. Now I'm in Duluth. But I'm just I'm a simple dude. Honestly, bro, like when I really sit down and think about it, separate myself from music or anything else that I do,
mm-hmm.
I'm just I'm a really, really simple dude. Like, stuff that I really enjoy, people might think is like super boring. Now, mm-hmm. of course, I like to hoop. I like to do certain things like that. But I can go to the park and just sit and look at the trees and be perfectly fine.
Dude, I think that's an old thing. Like, it's not a shot at you because I'm the same way. Like, I got excited the other day because I saw a cardinal in the tree in front of me. I'm like, yo, it's a cardinal. Like, I'm sitting there watching him, like, yo. Then it's like,
just the look on his face.
It just brought me, like, such tranquility. Like, I don't know what it is about that. It's like, then I saw a blue jay. The fact that I know the names of the birds, I'm excited. Like,
right.
Oh, there's a blue jay. Like, yo, honey, come look. Yo, look at the blue jay outside. Come check this out. Look. Yeah, I don't know what that is, man, but I just noticed that, like, last week I did that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do go to the park just to sit and think and clear my head, but it's like, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. When you said it, it just made me think.
That's an old, that's an old man thing.
Yeah, man. It's a wisdom thing.
Yeah, because I've done, that's one of the things I do for peace of mind.
Yeah. I think what it is, man, for me, I think I'm just learning to appreciate everything. Just everything. To stop. Because, you know me, we all go hard. We work. You know, we got families. We got crosstalk. We got everything, man. But how often do you just slow down and appreciate what God has provided? Like, just the sky, the trees, just everything. You missed, like I said, you missed the forest for the trees. I don't want to miss that.
Right.
But it just caught me off guard. I was super excited about that.
Yeah.
I was super excited about that. But anyway, I'm sorry, man. Back to you.
I was literally sitting. I was talking to one of the young brothers that I used to mentor a couple of years ago. We were sitting in the driveway, and I was looking at the sky. And I was like, do you realize it was like some ants or something walking by?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the ants. I looked at everything else. And I was like, man, look at that. I said, and in comparison, we are giants to this creature here.
Mm-hmm.
But in the entirety of everything, we're nothing. Right. Like, if you was to scope out, the earth ain't nothing in comparison to the universe or whatever.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
If a tree was to fall, you could get out the way of that mug, run off of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
A dog come, you can run, get in your house or whatever. But if the universe was just to collapse, there's no getting away from none of that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, I literally sit there and think about stuff like that.
I think you got me beat on that kind of thinking.
You know what I'm saying? He said the universe collapsed.
I never even thought about that.
I really started visioning the universe collapsing.
Like what's happening? Where do you go?
Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? You don't
endless want... falling.
So it's like I'm really a thinker. Like when I was in school, in college, which I'm actually been thinking about going back and finishing up my degrees. Mm-hmm. I was a philosophy major.
I can see that.
Philosophy and psychology, and I minored in sociology.
Yeah.
And so I got out of it because I wanted to just do music.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been really thinking about going back, like literally studying the philosophical equations and things like that. I enjoyed it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I even had visions or dreams of kind of being a historian. I love history.
Oh,
all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
We can do that together.
Yeah. Like my wife, she wants to travel and I want to travel too, but I want to travel not just to sightsee. I want to travel to go and experience the things that we've read about and actually find out the history of these things.
Yeah.
So I'm really more, if outside of music and pastoring, I love reading, I love learning new things. I'm a student. That's really who I am at the end of the day.
That's what's up,
I feel
man.
Like it. Just, the more you learn, the longer you live. That's how I feel.
I hear that.
All right.
That's more stress, more wisdom you add into your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's dope, man. So you answered that question greatly, actually. Very, very well.
I was looking... Damn it, I was looking to throw you off again. He don't have a satisfied I got you look on his face.
I'm good, man. Just the way he looked when we asked about
his daughter. That changed it. Yeah,
that was awesome.
That was good for him.
I started seeing all these pictures of her in my head.
All right. Before we close, I got two more questions for you. Mm-hmm. This is a very important question.
Yeah.
We have to ask this to all our guests who have a musical background. Despite how he responds to this answer, don't take it personal. Your top five favorite artists of all time.
Favorite artists of all time?
Woo! We always get that too.
Yeah.
So many. It's really so many, man.
But you only got five.
You got to narrow it down. You got to do your best to narrow it down.
Right. All right, I'm going to go with, and this is not in a particular order.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Marvin Gaye.
Ooh.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Michael Jackson.
All right.
So no argument so far.
None.
My next is actually a group. The Temptations.
Yo, so.
Yeah, it is all day long. Love it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Two more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Prince was a genius.
Oh,
and then my last one.
Watch me smile whack after all this.
It better not be nobody, because that's a lovely list you got so far.
My last one.
Come on. We're ready.
I'm going to have to say Sam Cooke.
Oh,
wow.
Let's give it up, people.
Ladies
that was
gentlemen.
Awesome.
This is the
first
time.
The
ever.
First five.
We didn't argue.
I mean, I bow
no
to
argument.
That.
No
I bow
argument.
To that.
No argument.
Right there. I mean, none whatsoever.
Because Punch will argue down about who you have on your own.
That last one, I was stuck between Sam Cooke and Otis Redding. I didn't know who I wanted.
Yeah.
So his last one was like my last five. I had like three slashes on number five. So mm-hmm. you had a slash too.
Right.
It's totally understandable.
It's acceptable here at Crosstalk.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. Top five is hard to choose. Five, we realize that's really hard to choose from, you know, right. with just five. But, sir, you may have been the first person who I ain't clapped back on your top five.
No. He is the first person you didn't clap back. Because like, even when you clap back at people, if they explain it to you properly, you might back up sometimes, but sometimes you don't. Like, nah, ain't no way you had him. And you put Nas at number five, you had Jay-Z, like, you'd be...
It was critical. It's critical.
Yeah,
it was
serious. Critical. So I had to get the...
Man, that was
those are great.
That list.
My mom's going to be applauding this list.
Yeah, she really is. I mean,
she loves The Temptations.
I know.
And Sam Cooke, matter
of fact. My whole family love Prince, yo. And Mike, you know what I'm saying? So who didn't like Mike, man? You know.
They all inspired this album.
Oh, wow.
Literally.
Like, you using that as a selling point, trying to get us.
Hey, so go back. Remember his top five when you think about this album coming out.
What's your new album coming out?
It's called Decades.
Decades. Okay.
Decades.
Yeah.
All right. When do you expect to release it?
I'm looking at either late second quarter, early third quarter of this year.
Okay.
Been working on it for a long time, but it's difficult because creating songs that come from each decade, from the 50s up to now.
Oh,
without,
dude, I'm already sold.
It's
difficult.
That sounds dope.
So that's why the song that's not heard figured it out, it has that 90s vibe.
Yeah, that's why it attracted me right to, because I'm still in the 90s either way.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's dope.
Dude, that's going to be, that's something that's different.
Yeah, so it's taking a little bit longer, you know.
Well, quality takes time, and you're going through decades.
Right, that's difficult. Without trying to, without copying something, like sound for sound, it's a little bit difficult.
I'm really looking forward to this album. Okay, cool. All right, last question before you go.
Mm-hmm.
How can people find you once again?
All social media is Jay Stevens Music. Website, jstevensmusic.com. So I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. That's about my the extent. I don't too much do Snapchat.
Cool.
Yeah, also,
we got to do our shout outs first. But thank you for coming through, man. We really appreciate you, man. I had a great time talking to you, man. Got a lot of insight, inspiration. I'm looking forward to just teaming up with you with your church, man. That's how I right my alley to get out to the homeless shelters and nursing homes and stuff, just to be outside the four walls, man.
Yeah,
please do. I commend you on that, seriously.
And we'll actually, we can tell people in advance on the radio show, you know, when next time
y'all
going to be somewhere doing, so we can get them for the location, you know, saying to if they want to meet you out there or meet up with you before, you know, so definitely give us that info.
Okay.
All
right,
so let me talk to the listeners out there. So if y'all have any questions or concerns or comments, hit us up at crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to contact or get any information about any of our previous guests, hit us up again, crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out at crosstalk.buzzsprout. Listen to each and every one of our episodes. We're like 45 episodes deep right now, so check us out. Make sure you hear from. Make sure you just check us out. We're on iTunes. Tune in.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you want us to be, we're there, man. We're still working on the YouTube channel and SoundCloud's coming soon, but just appreciate you always tuning in, checking us out.
Right.
Keep us in your prayers. But again, yo, we make topics for each and every person out there. Whatever y'all want to hear, you know, shout us out. Hit us up. I don't mind talking about anything on the air. I don't.
That's
what the whole thing, the whole premise. If you listen to our intro song, it tells you the whole premise of the show. Talking about stuff that people don't want to talk about. Elephants in the room.
No
boundaries. We live for that stuff. So
hit
us up. Let us know what you think of the show, what you like, what you don't like. Man, this is really, truly a people show. It's geared to meet people where they are. So it's not about me and Pudge just coming in here and having therapy. We had that before the mic started. So.
Right.
So either way.
We do that all the time.
Seriously. So hit us up. But meanwhile, let me get these shout outs out. Thank you for tuning in once again. Shout out to my mom down in Gray, Georgia. Shout out,
mom.
Shout out to Alicia and Conyers. I think she's the only listener we got in Conyers, but either way,
she's faithful with
it. Shout out to our homegirl Brandy, who listens to every show. Shout out to Atlanta tuned in last week, man. Shout out to Minneapolis tuned in to Minneapolis, Minnesota, y'all. Lawrenceville, Georgia tuned in. Tokyo still rocking with us. Shout out to Tokyo, Japan tuning in. Shout out to Duluth. Shout out to Stone Mountain, Georgia. Graysonville, Georgia. But no, sorry, Graysonville, Maryland. I don't know, man. They've been rocking with us for a minute now. So shout out to Graysonville. Shout out to Boogie Down Bronx tuned in. Shout out to Vegas.
All
right. Shout out to our newest listener, Jason Stevens. He's going to be tuning in from now on every single Monday at 12, him and his family. So, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for our newest listeners, y'all. We love y'all. I'm Steph Swig.
I'm Big Pudge.
Crosstalk
Radio.
Peace.